is Not So Fast, a Lineup Media Group production.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/notsofast. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, or your MP3 player. All right, gentlemen, we are finally all together for the first time in 2016. Tony, Jimbo, Big E, and T.O., happy belated New Year, boys. It's good to be back.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
I'm not quite sure when we all became so important that we would be gone so much.
You're big time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're big time. You're in Florida. You're at Dodger Town. Yeah. You're out there playing little baseball. Yeah. T.O. is
buying houses.
Buying houses.
Fixing dryers.
Exactly.
I'm building studios.
Maytag,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you are building studios.
All right. Guess what I did last night, by the way? This is something I've never done.
Can
before.
I guess?
Is it X-rated or?
Wait a minute.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I was going to say, this is loaded.
Yeah.
Guess well, what? It was.
I have never done this in my life before.
Paid attention to the caucus?
I sat down at 6 o'clock and watched till midnight. I don't know if I'm proud or embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed that you basically paid attention to a high school student council election?
Yes.
That some for some reason we've decided as a society to make important and have some sort of bearing on the outcome of the next president of the United States?
You don't know how it works, do you, Jimmy?
Is that why you're embarrassed?
I'm embarrassed now that I found out how it works.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
And I'm a little shocked and I'm a little appalled.
Yeah, well, at least the Democratic side anyway.
I mean, I know both sides do it slightly different.
What kills me is, at this moment, we still have one precinct that has not tallied their votes.
How do you
are they still
count?
Are they still in a room right now hashing it out, trying to figure out which way they're going to go?
It has devolved into rock, paper, scissors at this point.
Yes, it's unreal.
How do you not? It's not that many votes.
I tell you what, Vegas was completely off on the Republican side.
Who'd they have as a favorite?
Trump was
the favorite, okay.
Trump was minus 300, which is, you know,
wow,
a heavy, heavy favorite.
To win 100.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cruz was plus 220.
Here's what kills me,
that's
though.
Good play.
Yeah. Okay, so Cruz wins. Trump finishes second. Do we know what the total number is? It can't be more than 1,000.
Neither guy that's
side,
won.
2,000.
You know the total numbers.
It's not much.
No, the margins are slim, man. Yeah. Rubio was really closer to Trump than Trump is to Cruz in last night's results.
Well, I think there was only 4 votes separating Hillary and...
That's amazing.
Jono's boy, the last time
I checked. Bernie. Feeling the burn. You feeling the burn now?
You know, Tony Romo is supporting him. I saw this morning.
Woo-hoo!
Tony's a big Bernie guy. It is...
Let me ask you a question.
It is crazy,
though. Does it really matter that Tony Romo's supporting him to you? Like, does it mean anything to you?
It doesn't to me, but I bet it does to some people. That's why the celebrity endorsements are such a big deal.
That's so wrong.
And I was going to say, doesn't that tell you where we're at?
You have a celebrity running for fucking office at the end of the day. I mean, Donald Trump is a legitimate contender. Nobody would have believed that 6 months ago, 12 months ago. He just continues to hang around in the race. And I was actually talking about it this weekend, like... Everybody thinks Kanye West is joking about running in 4 years. That fucking idiot's going to run for president.
Well, good.
He's going to.
Hopefully you know he bankrupts though? Himself.
He's going, but he's not going to because he's going to have all these idiot celebrities bankrolling him. What party does he run for? I don't know.
Who knows? He runs on the West Party.
The thing is, though.
The West Party.
It makes our country look more and more like a joke to the outsiders that we have these people.
Oh, I think we've gone down that road a long time ago.
I mean, it's amazing. Kanye West. I mean,
but hang on. Isn't that the beauty of it? Is that he can run? I mean, if we choose to do something serious with this guy, then we're the idiots.
But that's what I'm saying. The trend we're going and the way it keeps going is that it opens the door for these clowns that, like... You wouldn't think that would ever be considered a serious option.
But I would argue that some of the guys we've elected are clowns. What's the difference?
They've proven they've been clowns. I see what you're saying, but do you really feel...
Minnesota elected Michelle Bachmann.
And Jesse.
The state of Alaska.
And Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't know that Ventura is a clown, but some of the things he's done are clownish.
I think all of them have done clownish things. And why are they clownish? Because A, we don't agree with them when they do them. No matter who they are, when they do something we don't agree with, we immediately you know.
So who do you think Trump defensive. Who Trump appeals to? Because I had a
people who are pissed off,
people who want something different, yep. that are tired, that think that the issue is, you know, one particular person, and he's gonna, you know, I'm not in that camp. I don't care. I mean, I could go either way. My thing is, it needs a complete overhaul. I've thought that for years, and that's not earth shattering news. I think the whole system needs a complete overhaul.
I've heard that for my entire adult voting life, though,
and nothing's happened.
And
right?
nothing's happened. Right. And I don't expect it. Anything will. Yeah.
So how do you, you know? So what do you do? You
have you talked to anyone that's considering voting for Donald Trump?
I got to be honest with you. I'm a poor American because I really don't even engage in it.
So you are a poor American.
I too am a poor American. I'm with you, Jimmy.
I've talked to a couple people about it, and their reasoning for voting for Donald Trump is just shocking.
They hate Muslims?
They love The Apprentice?
It's just like, well, you know, we need to change. These politicians.
Well, there you go.
These politicians don't know what they're doing.
Every election has been about change.
We need.
That's the only reason he has a real chance in this, is that, in my opinion, now, mind you, it's
that
my opinion.
He's not a politician.
Is that he's not a politician. He's a quote-unquote businessman, and we need a businessman to fix our financial problems, because at the end of the day, that's what people.
How many times
say
he
whatever you want to say? Well,
twice. I mean, it's not like the guy's banging it out.
But what's bankrupt? Are the countries bankrupt?
Yeah, we're bankrupt. If we could if the United States could file for Chapter 11, we would.
If the United States was a company, an advisor would come in here and say, "You need to file for bankruptcy.
You need to start liquidating
and
some
get
assets.
Rid of this debt."
They would have done that years ago, though.
That's my point. So my point is, Donald Trump has done nothing more than the average businessman.
I understand
and taken advantage of a flawed system.
When people are acting like he's this great businessman, like he's a Bill Gates, like, I mean, he's not.
Are you sure that Bill Gates has never failed at anything?
I'm sure he's failed. Everybody fails at something.
Okay,
but
yeah, just
Has Trump changed the generation? Has Trump changed the world doing anything?
I'm not an advocate or against.
I'm just saying
that I don't know that, you know, some of the arguments for and against sometimes are more personal than they are factual.
But what's even crazier is, some people, I mean, like a couple people I talked to, it's not even he's a businessman. They refer to Donald Trump as just an average guy. You know, he's just an average guy.
He's never been an average guy in his life.
That works, that, you know, he's not a politician.
Not a second of his life has he been an average guy.
Are you kidding me?
Anybody that looks like that and can date the women he's dated is not an average guy.
Not an average guy. I'm sorry. Here's what really got me last night. When they went into some of the caucus rooms and I saw the people. It's not that
the 80-year-old women that can't see counting the votes?
Nah,
is that what you're getting at?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I was just curious.
There's one procedure where when you go in, you know, they do a vote, and if you're for this guy, you go over here.
I know, that's my favorite.
If you're for this person, you go over here. If you're undecided, you go over here. I got to tell you, Tio, we got to move to Iowa.
Hey, or.
We have to.
My favorite are the ones that were voting for Malley.
Yes.
And then the walk of shame when you don't have enough votes to matter. That's my favorite. You don't have enough matter.
I have no problem with that.
So now you have to pick one.
No,
why don't you just leave? Like, fuck this system. I'm out of here.
You could, but here's what I would do. Don't leave. This is an excellent opportunity.
To stand your ground.
It's an excellent opportunity to walk in, say, I'm undecided.
I'm the hottest girl in the room.
And then let everyone pitch you and then say, I'm going to need a lot of gift certificates.
That's what they
Buffalo
do,
Buffalo Wild Wings.
That is what they do.
I'm walking out of there with my next 3 months' worth of meals covered. You are going to have to buy my vote. If the system is that stupid,
exactly.
Then I am going to exploit it. So, I'm going to go in there and say, I got no clue. Ooh, Buffalo Wild Wings coupon.
All right, so the question
then
is.
Ooh, free car wash.
So the question is, then why is it still like this? Is it just historical? I mean, it's completely archaic, but is it cool? Like, this is the way we've always done it, and it's awesome, and this is grassroots politics. I mean, why? Why? I mean, with everything we have now. Here's the thing. There are so many people that don't go vote, and it's not like it's the biggest state anyway, that is it a true reflection?
It is not a bellwether state.
Well, the last two Republicans that have won that caucus have not won. They haven't even been the Republican nominee.
There you go.
Why did Trump play that card last night in his speech? Instead, he gave the gracious...
Well,
I think he needed to look...
You think somebody told him?
Yeah, hey, just don't go out there and be a jerk.
The fact that
just
he...
Just look conciliatory.
The fact that he had such a strong showing in a state that has beliefs in a lot of ways so different than him. You know, he's not a... complete
nice guy.
Right, well, no, not a complete right-wing guy to where
exactly
the, you know, the churchgoers and these people. Exactly.
Here's a quick question. How much do you think these results will skew further voting turnout?
Well, people are like, yeah, that's
I think turnout's going to be huge because the turnout on the Republican side last night in Iowa was historic in terms of the actual numbers. Now, again, nobody got 50% on
They're getting
side.
Free meals too, though, right?
But, well, again, no, that's what... I want to go up there and do this.
No, I saw a lady say, they asked her how it went, and she said, I got full.
Perfect. That's politics at its finest to me. If I can get a bunch of coupons and maybe some cash, I'm all in. If you're going to let it be that dumb, let it be that dumb.
Here's another quick question. Is the Donald resurfaced on Twitter yet? He had been a blackout since the results last night.
I don't know. Let's we'll have check. To look. Hey, folks, while he checks that, if you like the show, if you like this little program, Not So Fast, give us some love. The next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, before you do that, you go to our website at notsofastpodcast.com and you click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything, but we get credit and the referral, and it helps keep this little program on the air. That's notsofastpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/notsofastshow. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at notsofastshow.
So after a 16-hour absence on Twitter, which has got to be the biggest he's ever had since this started, he comes up with these two tweets. Tony, you want to read
okay,
these tweets?
Okay, let's see. Because I was told...
Well, let's start with this first one.
Okay.
This is 19 minutes ago.
My experience in Iowa was a great one. I wish I could imitate Trump. I started out with all...
It was a great one.
I started out with all of the experts saying I couldn't do well there, and I ended up in second place. Nice. And then he says, because I was told I could not do well in Iowa, I spent very little there, a fraction of Cruz and Rubio. Came in a strong second. Great honor.
Excuses, excuses, excuses.
With the hands going like this.
Yeah.
But I think he's right.
Yeah, I think the guy's dead on, actually.
On 12:30.
Why did he wait 16 hours to say that?
He needed a nap.
On 12:30 of 13, Donald Trump tweeted, "No one remembers who came in second. Walter Hagen."
Oh, snap. Well, so, you got to tweet that out, T.O.
A lot of people were retweeting that last night.
All right. By the way, T.O., you know what this week is?
I do not know what
first week of February.
That's true, E. That's very true. It's Super Bowl week. Jim, would you like to remind T.O.?
I thought football season was over.
Would you like to remind T.O. who is quarterbacking in the Super Bowl?
Oh, that old guy that can't get it done anymore.
Yeah, the guy that's probably the luckiest quarterback to be in the Super Bowl based off his play.
Oh, my God.
Who was benched in the middle of the season.
You mean Trent Dilfer?
No, he was the worst quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Mark Rippon. Doug Williams.
Rippon Jeff Hostetler. John Unitas in Super Bowl III.
The numbers don't lie.
Flacco.
The numbers do not lie.
You're right. The numbers don't lie. It's his fourth Super Bowl, and he's got the Denver Broncos
I heard Mike Dick say this morning that a quarterback's job is to get the ball into the open receiver's hands. He can do that. They have a great defense.
He really didn't, though. In the first game of the playoffs, he was awful.
Well. We shall see.
Deny it all the way.
It's the old listen. It's the old guy that needs to retire versus Cam Newton.
First of all, he is the guy that he announced. I mean, it's pretty much well documented. He's told friends that he is retiring.
He's going out. Win or lose, going out.
Who are we talking about?
Peyton Manning. You're familiar with him. He sells auto insurance and things.
I am not arguing.
Owns a lot of Papa John's.
Yes, there you go.
Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play
the Super Bowl.
It's not an argument of that. Peyton has been average to below average this season.
Gonna score and then gonna dab.
And Jim and I's argument is very simple. You don't have to put up meteoric numbers to win.
Again,
you don't need to.
The fact that you're comparing Peyton Manning to Trent Dilfer and fucking Mark Rippon.
I didn't compare
that. What we're saying is you don't have to be Peyton Manning of old to win the Super Bowl is all we're saying.
And that's what I'm saying. Peyton Manning is not Peyton Manning of old.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But and I am too.
You were
I'm
throwing
not saying
dirt
anything
on
different.
The guy 3 weeks ago.
Would the Denver Broncos
so the Broncos like, threw dirt on him 6 weeks ago. They benched him and
he
put
was
him in
the starter. And he came off the bench and he won the game.
Would the Broncos rather have Cam Newton at quarterback? Of course they would.
Sure. God, I'd rather have Cam Newton doing anything.
For one game, though, I mean, honest to God, and this is me playing both sides of it. For one game, you're going out to win the Super Bowl. You've got this, you've got that. Do you take Peyton Manning and the experience and everything he's done, or Cam Newton, who's never been there?
Well,
that's an interesting question, because I don't know that I would take Cam Newton.
Here's the answer. Here's the answer. And we saw it, well, unfortunately, and I can't stand the 2 weeks between, but we saw it over a week ago now. It's the offensive line that's the most important thing.
Always has been.
Tom Brady is, I'm sorry, all due respect to all the former great quarterbacks. I mean, he's, and to quote a guy I can't stand, in Tony La Russa, Brady's tied for first, okay? So he couldn't get it done last week because he was on his ass the whole game, okay? So what I would say to you is that Peyton Manning is more than capable to win this game if his offensive line can keep him upright.
And that's been my whole argument the entire year.
And now, the difference is that Cam Newton can do things if his offensive line, you know, now everybody really believes that Wade Phillips is the key to this whole thing. He doesn't even step foot on the field. Mm-mm. Can he confuse Cam Newton?
Has Wade Phillips won a Super Bowl at any point in time?
As a head coach?
Here's the thing. Von Miller came out and he said, I really want this for Peyton, DeMarcus, being DeMarcus Ware, and Wade.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that the other night. I don't know if Wade has won a Super Bowl.
He's certainly been.
He's coached for years.
Yeah, well, he coached under his dad. I don't know if you remember his dad.
Bum?
T.O., but Bum was legendary coach who never made it to the
big game.
I remember
the name.
Game.
I just didn't remember him.
Never made it to the big
Bum.
Game.
So Jimbo.
Yes.
Since you don't like Manning, I'm going to ask you this, too.
I don't like Manning.
No, not Manning. Brady. You have a problem with Brady.
No, I don't.
Brady's my second favorite quarterback of all time.
Really? Who's your firsty?
Everyone else is a tie.
Oh, okay.
Who's your favorite?
Everyone else is a tie.
Who's your favorite?
You just said everyone else is a tie. And then Brady's my second favorite.
And everyone else is a tie.
Oh, so you can't stand him. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, all right.
So if you got one game to play.
That went right over me. Okay, great.
And this is the World Series, too. You got Game 7, you have one guy to pitch. Mm-hmm, if you're going into Sunday's game and you have equal teams, there's no advantage on the defensive side, the offensive line, what quarterback do you trust more to win that game?
Well, okay, you just...
Right now.
Trust is an interesting word.
Trust is an interesting word to use. Jimbo's actually... I trust Peyton Manning.
I don't trust Peyton Manning's arm, though.
No,
that's the thing.
Okay, that's two different things. You're talking about... I trust the... See, the things that Peyton Manning still does well that nobody can see is what he does pre-snap.
He reads the defense.
What he does pre-snap, none of us, let's be honest, have a clue how many times he's checked out of a play that would have taken a loss and checked into a play that got a gain. The difference with Cam Newton is he can be in the wrong play, and if all hell breaks loose, he can still turn it into something positive. That's a big factor. So when you say trust, I trust that Peyton Manning is going to put me in the right situation. However, Cam Newton is going to bail me out of a lot of bad situations should they occur. That is what makes this particular Super Bowl pretty damn interesting.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know that. I mean, the question is always if you had one guy to make a putt. You know, this is always a good. You know, your life depends on one guy to make a 10-footer. Who is it? Is it Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus? I mean, they're all great. You know, and they've all performed under pressure. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks. Heck, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that just never got the opportunity to play in situations like
any given Sunday, ..
Yeah.
It's always been the rule in football. Always been the rule in football. Any given Sunday. I mean, Joe Namath proved that. If he doesn't win Super Bowl III, he's just an average quarterback. I mean, hell, Jim Hart of the old St. Louis Football Cardinals had better numbers than Joe Namath. But he won Super Bowl III.
I want Peyton Manning. I mean, I think it'd be great for him to go out on top. There's only been one other athlete in my generation to semi go out on top, and he destroyed it by coming back with the Washington Wizards. But
oh yeah, it's true.
No, but nobody remembers that. Everybody in their mind has this image of Jordan hitting the shot against the Jazz.
I remember the Wizard stuff.
You know, and so to have Manning come out and, you know, play this game, you know, say he throws three touchdown passes and throws for 250 yards or 300 yards, that's the storybook ending. Is it the same if the Broncos won a 9-6 game and Peyton is, you know, has a completion percentage under 50% and throws for 130 yards?
It's a win. It's a win.
I think the difference between those two is this. How long was it that Jordan took off before he come back and played with what essentially was a terrible basketball team?
98, 99 was
his last. 2 years.
So he takes a couple of years off, and then he comes back and plays with Club Scrub.
Yeah, they weren't a very good
team. Okay, so my point is, if Peyton Manning decides to play another year, it's not like in the twilight of his career he's taken 2 years off and said, I'm going to come back. And then it's not like he's coming back to, you know.
No, I'm just saying like going out on top. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, you know, like if it's like Jordan.
Well, I understand that, but Peyton Manning's not going to like go sign a contract with pick somebody.
In Vegas, do you know what team is the favorite for Peyton Manning to play for next year?
Huh. I don't know, but I'll bet you
Chico's do. Belmonts.
I like it with Kelly Leak. Sure. He's got the greatest arm.
And he's got that motorcycle. He can get around quick.
Who you got?
L.A. Rams.
Really?
That's who Vegas
I heard Nick Saban will be their head coach.
Well, Jeff Fisher isn't going anywhere. He's Kroenke's butt boy.
I just heard.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to my right.
I'm just telling you what I heard. I heard Nick Saban will be the head coach. I overheard that.
It makes me a clown.
Makes T.O.
I'm just saying what Vegas's odds are. Vegas. I'm okay with it. I'm just saying what the odds are. Yeah. I mean, they were way
off. Don't tell me the odds, boy.
They were way off on the Republican stuff yesterday. Yeah. So
tell me the odds.
Folks, remember to check out all the shows on our Lineup Media Group network for shows like, for instance, Chasing Pucks with Panger. Very hot show right now. You can check it all out at lineupmediagroup.com. Chasing Pucks. Boy, did Kelly get on. He got on everybody.
Rightfully
Chaser
so.
Chaser got on everybody for dissing John Scott's selection to the All-Star game.
So. Rightfully so. What a joke. This guy's a clown. Listen, everybody's talking about the deal with the one reporter. There were a lot more than him. And here's the other thing, too. There's a lot of players that were voicing their displeasure off the record at the very beginning of this thing.
There sure were. He called everybody out.
You know what I'm saying? So, and again, I my hat's off to Kelly Chase and be sticking it out there, so to speak. Listen, there's a lot of guys that had a lot of negative things to say about this at the beginning. And at the end of the day, It's an all-star game, and it's a garage league. I'm sorry.
Well, Damian Cox, that's the end. He almost made it personal against John Scott. You know, and he works for TSN, and I think he works for the Toronto Sun or somewhere up Toronto Star. And Kelly just kind of, I mean, like from listening to the show and reading everything, Kelly went to bat for the player, no different than the players' union would have. You know, no different than the guys in the league did. The guys had this guy's back, and
it's an all-star.
Not all
game.
The players did,
yeah, but most of them. I mean, most of the guys.
There's the quote-unquote anonymous quotes of, "Here was my favorite. This is my all-time favorite." Well, it's a nice story, but he's taking the spot of someone that was more deserved. Who?
Well,
who? You know, here's the thing. I say this: if you're out there listening, I challenge you to contact me. It's real simple to do. If you think you're the all-star from the National Hockey League that deserved to be there instead of John Scott, I beg of you to please call in here, because my thing to you is going to be this. I watched the game. I saw some really talented players. But the fact of the matter is you don't have that many talented players anymore. I don't know if it's the rules.
He scored two goals, though. It's not like the guy's not talented.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. But my point is, where's all these stars at? Where's the NHL I knew and grew up with?
The leagues change, though. The scoring.
Okay, yeah, but here's the thing that kills me about the whole thing. Okay? I grew up and I watched Hall and Gretzky and Lemieux, and you know these guys were putting up 150, 170 points, and that wasn't good enough. So we're going to fix it because we need more offense, because now we're going to tailor the game to the fans, which brings up another point.
That's what I was about ready to say to you.
Okay, we're going to tailor the game to the fans. Where'd the offense go? Well, I got a buddy of mine that'll tell me how athletic and how great the goalie. Well, the goalie's equipment is out of control. I don't care what anybody says.
But it's been out of control for 20 years.
Okay. It steadily has gotten to the point now where it's almost like a. Here's my argument to that. It's become steadily increased like a driver in golf. Okay, it's out of control, out of control, out of control. Okay, now we're going to cap it. Okay, so now because they've lowered like one or two small things on equipment, they, you know, this my buddy's argument to me is, well, they've Well, yeah, but they let it get out of control, and now they're capping it.
The sticks are better but you could line up two goalies from the 80s, put them side by side.
It's not even remotely
to be
close.
One the size of one goalie
right.
in their equipment.
And his
right
argument
now.
Is that more athletes are playing hockey, which is probably true. I'm sure he has documents to do that. He's a college hockey coach. But his argument would be, and then there's bigger goalies. It's like anything. The quarterbacks are bigger, things bigger. And I'm okay with that, but there were some goalies back then that were awfully big.
Yeah.
That, you know, that when they stood in the goal with the equipment they had on. Now, I'll also say this, and I'm sure, and he would know, he's a college hockey coach. They're probably better than they used to be, too, because they're better trained, just like in every sport.
Yep.
But that's another argument. But here's the real problem for me, okay?
All-star
talking
game
about
or
the league, in hockey in
league.
General,
okay.
And this is my issue with it. So they make all these changes for the quote-unquote better, one of them being we're going to do this stuff to try to add more offense, which has not worked. That's number one. Number two, we got to get rid of this fighting. Because we got to get rid of the fighting. Now, here's
interestingly, the same has happened with video games in the NHL.
Well, here we go.
That's fair.
Here we go. I've never been to a hockey game in my entire life, and I've been going since I was a kid, to where when there was a fight or a big hit, that 18,000 people weren't out of their feet cheering.
Mm-hmm.
It's never once happened.
I don't understand. And here's the thing about the John Scott, and here's where I'm going. Of course, in St. Louis over the years, and I can only, you know, I've lived here. So but I'm going to assume it's this way in other markets as well. Just from, it's very easy to go out and look at and read and get a good gauge. And that's this. Yeah, I grew up, I saw Brett Hull in his prime, and it was the most amazing thing. You know, it was no different than the McGuire home run chase. It's like,
it's unreal.
you went to a game.
And you knew and he was going to score.
And he was just scoring. So it was amazing, right? But I will tell you this. As much as the fans loved Brett Hull, over the years of the guys that I saw.
The guys that protected Brett Hull.
They loved Kelly Chase.
They loved Tony Twist.
They loved Todd Ewan.
They
loved
Shanahan.
Darren Kimball when he was here.
Shanahan was more of a skilled guy.
What they loved about him was, this is why they really love Shanahan. Because the reality of it is
he would mix it up.
Because he could play any mix up. That was always the best.
Because he could Gordie Howe hat trick you on any night.
Like, that was the thing, like, with my friends. Because we loved hockey, you know. Well, that's why Probert, not only can Probert whoop your ass, but he can play. He can play, man. Dave Manson can play. You know, we had all that going on.
There was a
Dave Semenko, Marty McSorley, all these guys could play.
The tough guys used to score double-digit goals.
Was Ty Domi the first one that couldn't really score?
Well,
he was just kind of the goons.
No.
But I mean, like...
No, there's always been others.
But here's the thing, and this is where I'm going with it, okay? Never forget this, and this is the whole garage portion of this to me with the fans, and some of them are my own friends, okay? Never forget this, and this is what I would tell them. Every one of those quote-unquote protectors slash goon slash enforcer, whatever you want to call them, will come out to your Sunday night league and dominate you.
Yep, 100%.
Dominate you.
They will make you look absolutely silly.
And I will tell you right now that I have friends that will tell me how ignorant I am.
No,
and they'll tell me about the one time so-and-so came out and they couldn't do. I'm here to tell you, okay, those guys would dominate. Not number one, physically, they would absolutely dominate you in the game of hockey. But offensively?
You'd be shocked by their skill level.
Hey, a lot of these guys scored a lot of goals when they were younger.
Of course, that's why they
found their path. No different than, I heard John Smoltz tell a story about baseball. He was talking about pitching versus playing every day. And we were talking about the athleticism of baseball. And he said, I used to tell Chipper Jones this all the time. Make no mistake, Chipper. When I was young, I could hit and field just as good as you can. Okay?
There's
I could.
No doubt.
The problem was you couldn't pitch as well as I did, so I decided to go ahead and be a pitcher.
Well, no NHL team is going to draft a guy because he's a fighter and he hits hard. They draft him because there was the potential and the guy scored and played two, whatever it was.
Well,
there was attributes that the team liked when they were coming through juniors.
It's a different avenue. Okay, these guys kind of come up. And they make their bones. I mean, no enforcer. It's not like Connor McDavid. He doesn't get drafted as an enforcer, and then he's in the NHL tomorrow. He does, like, the stories of the enforcers in the minor leagues, if you're a hockey guy, are legendary.
There's actually
you know, the whole Bob Probert thing where I'm going to grab you and you get three shots.
They did it.
You know, who knows if that's true or not. That's what you hear. The whole thing about Tony Twist and the crazy stuff he did in the minors.
No, I've seen Twist in the minors. I saw him in Peoria. Before the game even began, before the ref, excuse me, before the referee could even drop the puck, he cold cocked a guy from the Milwaukee Admirals named Dave Hawkins.
Nice.
Both sent off, 10-minute misconduct, come back, start the second period, line up again, Twist skates out, Hawkins skates out, ref can't even get the puck out of his hand, bam, same thing, now both game misconducts. Two unbelievable fights. Jim, it was incredible to witness this.
You're right, and here's the thing. I will almost promise you that if we went down to a Blues game and asked fans some of their most memorable moments in Blues history that they can remember.
I'll tell you mine right now, one of the greatest things
they're going to tell you is the day, it was a day game, I believe, and I could be wrong, was when Bob Probert chased Eric Lindros all over the ice, and Eric Lindros wouldn't fight him because I think he ran, was it Bassin? Or it was a smaller guy. I can't remember who it was. I don't remember the name. But Lindros ran one of our guys, and Twist basically chased him. Every time he'd come out, he was smacking him with a stick. Lindros wouldn't fight. That is, I guarantee you, in most quote-unquote Blues fans, that's in their top 10.
Well, here's my number one. Here comes Shovel Day.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Here comes Joseph.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yes.
If you ever wanted to know what it must have been like to be in the Roman Colosseum, it was that moment at the old arena.
E, what were you going to say? Something?
Well, I was just thinking you're pretty much saying that it's the difference between like ice rugby and ice soccer.
You could say that, sure. And, you know, and the problem is, I said it earlier, people want to call hockey a garage league. People call it for different, you know, you've got the one faction that say, well, all this fighting and all this kind of is never going to get, the problem is, hockey can become boring to a non, like, specific hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
that's
like
the issue.
All right, hold
there's
that
a,
thought.
There's a documentary, real quick, Tone, there's a documentary in 2011 about Chris Nylon.
Yeah.
He was the enforcer for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
It's called The Last Gladiators. It's mm-hmm. an unbelievable movie. How this guy is one of the most popular Canadiens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from the team, through the history of the team.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, you see it, E? Great movie.
No, I'm just doing a Canadian version.
No, but it's really...
Take off, eh?
Really
take
impressive, and it touches on what you guys are talking about and how the game's changed, but what this guy's role and how appreciated he was, not only by the fans... But the goal scorers, the guys that he protected.
Yeah, because he opened up the ice.
And that was part of the game.
And some of the younger generation that are coming in the NHL.
They don't get it.
Because it's gone.
Tarasenko fought the other night. He had to protect himself.
Wayne Gretzky never had to do it because Dave Semenko was always on his
my
left.
Here's my other thing. This is the last thing I'm going to say on it because I think we've worn it out. Here's what I will say, okay? I've never understood this either. When it comes to the team portion of this, what do they always say is the reason why they didn't retaliate? I didn't want to take the 2-minute penalty, the instigator. But yet, you go through the course of a hockey game and you probably take 3 or 4 terrible ticky-tack penalties.
A slash in the corner.
Jim, a hook in the offensive zone. A hole to going into the corner. Just absolutely a slash down. Just horrible penalties. But yet, something as important as that, you've decided you're not going to do it. That just to me is crazy.
Agreed.
And back to the John Scott and the All-Star thing real quick. The fans vote on it.
That's the other thing.
The fans voted on this guy to be an All-Star and to be a captain of a team. The league doesn't have anyone to blame. The league has this format. The fans voted. Respect what the fans want.
Well, how about this? This is another sport. This has happened in 365 days. Did we not just go through an All-Star thing with baseball where was it the Royals that were going to have every starter?
Yes. This last year.
So somehow, some way, some shape or form, and then they got involved, right? MLB got involved and said, oh, wait a minute, we can't have this.
Yeah.
So the precedent is set for, yeah, we're going to let the fans choose, but if you guys screw it up real bad, we're going to
So is it an All-Star game or a popularity game?
Well, there you go.
You know.
Okay, please share our show with your friends. Share it on Facebook, on Twitter, by email. Any way that you communicate with people, that's what we need you to do. You can share the show. We would be beholden to you. You know what? You know how you know a sign that you're becoming big?
Your pants don't
explain
fit,
big.
Right?
Notable. There's one. It's the mom test. If your mother has heard of the person, that person's pretty big. Okay?
Interesting.
All right. The mom test is always a good one. There's another test, though. It's called the pulpit test.
Measure it.
And if the pulpit starts speaking about you, you've gotten pretty damn big. And UFC fighter Conor McGregor, guys, has made it to the pulpit. And it's T.O. shared this clip with me. It's unbelievable. If you haven't heard this, so it's amazing. T.O.?
This is Pastor Donnie Romero from the Steadfast Baptist Church in Texas.
Okay. Always with the Baptists. Strange.
Shocking that it's in Texas as well. Sorry to all of our Texas listeners.
But why is that shocking? Could be anywhere.
I'm telling you what. I'm going to pray, Robert, that God strikes this guy dead. Do you know why? His name is Conor McGregor.
Yes.
And he's the UFC featherweight champ or something like that. And he's on his run of just knocking people out.
He's clearly a fan. He knows enough about him.
He knows his weight class. He knows UFC.
Yeah.
He knows that this even occurred.
So he's knowledgeable about the sport.
But you know what? He got up and he said, if Jesus Christ was in the ring with me, I'd knock him out.
Yes, he did.
And then somebody threw that in his face and said, remember when you said that you would beat up Jesus in the ring? And he said, me and Jesus are good. You know why? He said, because gods recognize other gods.
Yeah. Do you hear the people in the background agreeing with him? They're starting to get riled up.
Yes, like, he did.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Can I say this as a God-fearing man? Can I say this? I don't have a problem with Conor saying that if he got in a ring with Jesus, he'd knock him out. I think
it's just
Jesus,
like Muhammad Ali.
If Jesus got in the ring, he'd be ready. You know, he doesn't care.
Jesus was a pacifist. Of course, he'd knock him out.
But hang on. Jesus does not care who wins the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Okay. He doesn't care. I'm sorry. He doesn't care if I retweet about or reshare about some poor, sick, whatever, or about love, or he doesn't care. If he was going to take the time to come down here and put on the gloves, he's coming down here to compete, right? Yeah. The problem is, and I think this is what the guy's issue is
it's Donnie
him
Romero,
calling himself
sir.
A god, I think, is the issue.
Let's
correct?
Let's let Donnie continue on.
Like, there's
see,
more?
Hang on, I got to be honest. I'd like to see this fight. I mean, couldn't he use the force and just whisk this guy away?
Whoa. Time out.
Hold on. A lot of people don't know this. Jesus was big in the roller derby, man. You couldn't mess with that guy.
He's physical. So let's continue on.
Would he have to shave?
The force.
Yes. Oh, no. Well, you know what I mean. Just wave his hand.
If Kimbo doesn't have to shave, Jesus don't have to shave. Jesus, leave it at that.
Jesus' beard ain't that dirty.
Does he go with sandals or flip or barefoot?
Barefoot. You can't wear anything in the octagon.
There are rules.
Wait a minute. You're gonna make Jesus take off his sandals.
Oh yeah.
I think Jesus would want to.
Well, let's hear what.
This guy wandered the desert for 40 days and for 40 nights, and you're going to ask him to remove his sandals.
Allegedly. Here's Pastor Romero.
The guy's a UFC fighter. That guy's nothing. He's let money go to his head. He's got pride. And look, let me tell you this. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, my friend. You think about that chick that knows.
He just said shit in his sermon.
The David and Goliath, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, that's just physics.
Yeah, sure.
Do you hear him?
That's some crazy
shit.
Here it
is. Let's hear it again.
If a fighter falls in the ring and nobody's there to see it, did it really happen?
Yes. Here it is.
Okay.
And you think about that chick that knows that UFC fight.
He just said shit. Let's just be clear.
Is that? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says I can't say shit.
No.
By the way, do you know what shit stands for?
Donnie Romero can.
Poop.
It's actually an acronym.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when they had to ship fertilizer on boats, the methane would come up from the bowel of the boat. You couldn't really have this on a boat, kind of a dangerous situation.
Sure.
So they would mark on the side of the crate that that fertilizer was in, ship high in transit.
I'm going to have to see this note page on this.
Go look.
I think that's viable.
I think it's a viable explanation because they would ship manure, fertilizer, there you go.
Hey, you know the thing about manure, it's not really that bad a word if you think about it.
No, if you break it down.
You've got a ma, which is good, and a newer, which is good. So it's really not that bad.
No, it's not that bad at all. It helps you grow.
So let's see what Pastor Romero has to say.
Right. About manure?
That everybody loved 3 or 4 months ago.
Snope says you're wrong.
Everybody was on her, what was her name? Ronda Rousey. Everybody was Ronda.
Big Ronda Rousey fan.
What's wrong with Ronda?
She lost Everybody that was on her side turned against her. Oh, I knew
Who
it.
Who turned against her? Oh, you did.
Oh, I think T.O. did.
I didn't turn against her. I said the media and the public did.
Did two turn against her or not?
No.
I kind of remember that Jimbo and I were like, no, we're now more interested than ever than Ronda.
There's no rematch.
She's not getting a rematch. She's fighting someone else. I was right again.
Of course you are.
Always right. I'm always right. No.
In your mind.
But what he is saying is that the media has turned their back on her. She is not the media darling. The fans have turned their back.
I don't care what the pastor says.
But that happens in every sport.
Because that's how the world works.
That's all I was saying.
Because he's right. That is how the world works.
That is how the world works.
When things are going good, they're behind you. When things go bad, they're against you.
All right.
All these people that think that they love these people, you know, it's all pride. It's all wickedness. It's all worldliness. That guy, I'm going to pray that God strikes him down with a lightning bolt.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's an issue. But up to that point, he was dead on.
Hold on, though.
Hey, listen, up until that point, he was dead on.
He is going to pray for God to strike that man down with a lightning bolt.
Oh, sounds like something out of Mortal Kombat.
What if he... Do you think that's wrong?
Yes!
What?
That he prays for God to strike a man down with a lightning bolt.
Well, the fact
you're gonna
that
go
he's...
with was that wrong?
Yes.
I gotta plead.
If I would have known,
if somebody
would
have told me that that was frowned upon. But honestly, what if he had the power to do that
and
could eliminate some of the ruthless people in the world? Man, what an absolute intangible skill to have.
Listen to the response from his fans or audience or whatever you call it.
Look at me, son.
It's a flock,
It's called a congregation.
Or a flock.
Or a cult.
If you ever went to a church, you'd know that.
But
you're going to hell, and we can't help you.
I'm okay with that.
Teeth and the ragged clothing.
And the heat. My God, the heat, Tio.
You sweat
profusely when it's 60 degrees.
If church is about a guy praying to God to strike a lightning bolt on a guy and kill him, and then a bunch of fucking yahoos going, yeah!
That's that old Testament guy.
Here's my only question, and I want you to answer this for me. You've obviously watched the clip. Mm-hmm. Is there a rattlesnake or some snakes going to come out here anytime soon?
He mentions worms.
I don't care about worms. If he's going to whip a couple snakes out and hold them up.
Here we go. So let's finish the clip. Listen to the response when he says it again.
It's all pride. It's all wickedness. It's all worldliness. That guy, I'm going to pray that God strikes him down with a lightning bolt. So everybody in the world.
Amen. You know what, though? He didn't get a rousing amen. What you got was, here's what I imagine that looked like. There's a bunch of people out there, and they're with him, and then all of a sudden he starts talking about killing somebody, and they all went,
You know what this is like, E? This is like when Borat gets in front of the rodeo.
Yeah, I was going to say the rodeo.
May George Bush drink the blood of every man, woman, and children.
May your warlord, George Bush.
And the audience is with him. And then the next line, may we bomb them until even the lizards. And then the audience is like, ooh, this sounds harsh.
This is a bit much. Yeah, so here's a bit much.
Here's the end of Pastor Romero, who will have no cult members after this.
It's not a cult.
We'll know that it was God. It was Jesus that struck him down. Right. Look, you say, well, he's not even saved. Look, Herod wasn't saved, but when he did this big oration, he gave not God the glory, and God killed him, and his body was eaten with worms.
Right.
And then he can do the same thing to anybody that he wants to. He can just look down and with his little finger to say so, boom.
Some
catastrophic event.
I wonder what percentage
he's reiterating.
He's a wicked person.
He's reiterating what I said.
And if you watch him and you're a fan of his and you call yourself a Christian, shame on you.
Jim, you could be a Baptist minister.
Shame on what I said. If Jesus wanted to, he'd come down here and get in the ring with this guy and use his pinky and be over.
Yeah, but you called it the Force. You called it like he was a Jedi.
But what would the odds be in Vegas if Jesus come down and fought this guy?
They would be off the board. No, it'd be off the board.
Yeah, nobody's going to take any bets on this guy.
First of all, wow, there's a Jesus. That's going to be a big deal. I mean,
yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Would you get any bets?
We're already looking
another question.
Past
I have.
You know what though?
What percentage
the gamblers
of lightning strikes the are religious.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't think we know.
It's hard to know.
Depends about those voodoo.
It's hard to know.
This voodoo
speculate 10%, 12%.
Let's call it 10.
I would have to go double digits.
Yeah. Just
there's
got
to be a reason for them. I mean, random act of nature. I don't know.
So Pastor Romero is calling out all Christians that are fans of Conor McGregor and shaming them.
Yeah.
We've got fat shaming.
That's what different religions do.
Yeah.
We have horse shaming.
It's in their bylaws.
Yeah, they shame you into giving to the collection.
It's in their bylaws.
Yeah.
We're going to splinter off from this faction and start our own thing. And if you encounter anybody that doesn't believe what we believe, damn them.
Doesn't
the
anyone,
bigger thing is, though...
Doesn't anyone understand hyperbole, though? Because Conor McGregor is a master at this stuff.
This guy's a jack-off. This guy did this to get fucking...
The pastor, you mean.
This pastor did this to get attention
bing, bing, bing,
go viral.
There you go.
It is a fucking publicity stunt, clear as day, trying to get out there. This guy got what he wanted from it.
Well, does he tape every one of his sermons so nicely, like this one?
What? I mean, who knows? But he, Baptist Church, I mean, it's right there on the top.
It's the name steadfast. Of his church.
It's not done very well. It's not centered.
Camera works kind of bad.
But his domain's right there for all to see.
There you go. Well, but, again, we're on a podcast, but it's Steadfast Baptist.
Looks to me like it was done in the
JV.org.
But here's the thing: what's this guy wanting out of this?
Fire up the congregation.
He was moved. You think he's going to have 3,000 more people at the service next week?
Well, that's the idea.
Well. You know what?
Good luck
with that.
Dude, I'm kind of religious. I teach for public school religion, but you know what? These are all tax-free businesses, man. So yeah, he's trying to get more people in there. He's trying to get that collection plate going.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the guys
good luck
bad.
To him. Good luck to him and his whatever flock.
Yeah, and good luck to us. Hey,
Crazoids.
Don't forget,
sanatorium.
Folks, we tell you to check out the Audible, audible.com, your free audiobook download, all those titles. You can do that. And
wait a minute. Was that in Iowa? Did those people listen to that sermon and then head out to the caucus? I was just curious.
Nah, it's Texas.
Possible. Okay. It was in Texas.
Yeah, it was in Texas.
Oh, so those are the people that are the Cowboy fans. That explains a lot.
Uh-oh. Oh, you done it now.
I don't care.
All right.
I don't have to. You know what? I don't have to pull punches any longer.
No, you don't. You're a free man.
The bottom line is, you say what you want, Jimbo. The bottom line is that organization is a train wreck. And that's the only reason they're as popular as they are, is we love train wrecks.
They just came out and said they will not be re-signing Greg Hardy because he partied too much during the season.
Yeah, that's the pot calling a kettle black. Seen any pictures of your owner in his suite?
How about Johnny Football getting tracked down by a helicopter?
That's a cool name.
Hey, this guy, he's on the fast track to join in that, what is it, the 26 club?
If he was a rock and roll star, he'd die at 27.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
He split up with his
gal. I would take him in a death pool like you would not believe.
Did you read the article, Tone?
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of the death pools, though.
They're dropping like flies.
What is going on? Everybody in music is dying.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Who's next?
We've had Lemmy, David Bowie, the lady from the original Jefferson Airplane.
Paul Kantner.
The original, the guitarist from Speedwagon, the wagon.
When did this happen?
Oh, that happened.
It's like last week.
It was a week or two ago. Yeah.
Who's next? Axel? Oh.
God, no. No, they got a tour
this summer. All right, you got to go on record here. Who's the next?
I got to go. My money's on Ronnie Wood. I saw the Stones this past summer, and Ronnie, it looked like they had to prop him up to get him out there.
I'll keep in the Stones. I'm going to go fucking, what's his name?
Jagger?
Mr. Drugs. Keith Richards.
You can't kill him.
It's a surprise of the year.
You can't kill him.
We lost the one guy too from was it STP or
Scott Weiland.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with David Lee Roth.
No.
Explain yourself, man.
Take that back.
He just doesn't look good and hasn't looked good for a long time. And
okay, how about this, T.O.?
I think he's
ready.
He
does look like a mummy.
No, this is an interesting play by T.O. He has a ranch, and I think he's got cattle and sheep. He gets stampeded.
Ooh. That would be
interesting. Wouldn't that be a way for him to go?
It would be.
You know, we could, you know,
what gives a eulogy?
We do have some Hagar. We have some rap beefs going on right now. You know, we could possibly have like a reunion of the East Coast West Coast thing, and Kanye and
I'm gonna throw out a shocker. This is gonna show you how good I am at this,
because
I'm pretty good eerily. Did I not call? I did. You texted me.
I don't remember.
I called Scott Weiland.
Did you
remember that? You sent me the text going, "Oh my God."
It may have happened. I don't remember.
I went out of this contest of Jimbo's a curse.
Steve Perry.
Oh, no.
And he should have been gone.
And he's going to be gone.
Wow.
I'm just telling you.
I hope not.
Wouldn't it be weird, though, if the Philippine guy who now tours with Journey died and Perry had to rejoin
Fake
Journey?
Steve Perry?
There's a reason Steve Perry's not back with Journey. Yeah, I think
he's back singing again, though, strangely, after a long hiatus. He's nowhere near the pipes.
He tried. He's not doing it anymore, I don't believe.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think so.
Which tell I got a bad feeling about Stevie Boy.
Okay, I just got a random question real quick because I'm going through a site here and there was just real quick.
Why?
Two different pictures popped up of the Kardashian sisters.
Oh,
did you have to say you're 18 before you go to the site?
If you had to, no. It's just it's a sports site.
Gotcha.
But, you know, they're all hooking up with athletes. What Kardashian would you if you had to go with one of them? And I guess we need to put like in context what would it be, a relationship or whatever? If you had to date one of the Kardashians,
which one would you date? Hold on a second.
Let's even take it back. What
Describe date.
What Kardashian do you find most attractive?
What's
let's
the
just
mom's
go with
name?
That. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Describe date.
Caitlyn or Caitlyn Jenner?
No, that's
or,
the dad.
Well, he's the mom now, too.
No, he's not.
He's sort
the dad.
Of a mom.
No, he's not sort of a mom. He's a dad.
Is it Kim Jenner? Kris Jenner.
Here's the thing, though.
She's got the money. That's who I did.
That'd be like an amusement park. They're all different rides.
Who do you find
Am
most
I wrong there?
Who do you find most attractive, though? That's what I'm getting
just,
at.
I think it depends on the mood you're in. That's what I'm saying. It's an amusement park.
Why do you keep giving these attention whores attention?
Yeah, I mean, because they're attention worthy.
No, they're not.
I
think, as limited as you are in your perhaps entertainment skill set,
okay,
you are infinitely more talented than all of these people put together.
I don't look like any of them, though. I mean,
who gives a fuck what you look like?
She's pretty good looking, at Courtney.
I think that's what I'm gonna say. Courtney, my favorite's Courtney. I think she's the oldest one.
You're twice as funny as all of them combined.
Well, of course.
You make me a sandwich with any kind of Kardashian bread, and I'm all over it.
Am I wrong there, though? Look at them all. They're all a different ride in an amusement park.
So the big rumor now, as I'm seeing, is that James Harden is pressuring Khloe, his girlfriend, into getting breast implants.
Let me tell you what.
How about that? She weighs about 120 pounds now, and I know, Tony, you've been a big fan of Khloe's.
I've always been a fan of her work since I saw her at a Clippers game.
She's about 30% boob by volume already. So
yeah. And she's still got baby fat on her face.
Khloe?
Yeah.
I don't think she does.
Yeah. She's lost a ton of weight. She looks sick now.
Yeah.
And she looked ugly before.
She was courtside at a Clippers game about a year and a half ago I was at, and I was on the other side. Not courtside, but, you know, upstairs.
Cheap seats.
And when she got up to you know, walk to wherever the, you know, VIP lounge is, holy crap. Oh, man.
Saucy, eh?
I'm like, that's a body. Wow, that's amazing.
She reminds me of like a Tia Carrera type of look.
That's a good picture of her. She usually doesn't look like that.
Well, kudos to the photographer.
Right. Okay.
So anybody going to watch the new OJ show tonight?
Hell yes.
Is that the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes.
He actually looks like he does a pretty decent OJ.
David Schwimmer is playing Robert Kardashian.
Keeping
the Kardashian name going. And then there was another big actor in the show. I cannot think of...
Well, they couldn't get the guy from Seinfeld, who Jim and I love, that played the Johnny Cochran character on Seinfeld.
Jackie Chow.
They couldn't get him because that would have just been like insulting. But the guy who's playing Cochran,
hysterical.
I'm telling you, the guy who's playing Cochran is going to nail it. He is very, very good. And it'll be notable. It'll be watchworthy.
I'm trying to see who else, what other actors are on here.
I would love to know if that guy that's playing Johnny Cochran was the guy that used to be on In Living Color.
Oh, Travolta's in it. That's who. That was Robert. He's playing Robert Shapiro.
Oh, I meant the guy playing. I'm thinking. Let me think of the guy's name. But he looks like the actor that used to be in Living Color.
Courtney, he looks.
That's not him. It's the other guy he's playing.
Greer. David Allen Greer. No.
They should have had the guy from Always Sunny play him in blackface.
Oh,
that would have been awesome. Because tell me that doesn't look like him.
It doesn't look good. Like him.
That's when they redid Lethal Weapon series and
it doesn't look like him.
All right.
Oh, Selma Blair is also on the show. She is playing Kris Jenner.
You don't really remember. Were you young enough? Are you old enough to remember when this went down?
Yeah, I was in 7th grade or 8th grade when
Do you remember the day this went down?
The OJ thing? Sure.
Yeah.
They announced it over the intercom at school, which is really weird for middle class white America.
You know, especially in this county.
No riots going on around here. No, they announced it over the intercom. I swear to God.
I remember being where when the news reports came on and the white Bronco was driving around. It was one of those moments I remember exactly where I was, waiting to go into a theater to watch a movie.
Was there a World Series game that night?
It was the NBA Finals. Houston and the Knicks, and Costas had to get on the air and do like he was doing play-by-play. Yeah, that night.
I remember that. I remember the verdict was when we were in school. It was in October.
They're driving down the five in an I formation.
I thought the chase was during the summer.
It was during June.
Okay.
Yeah. June of 93 or 94,
do you think that, in a weird way, do you think that the chase, then all the media attention that the trial got itself, do you think that led to reality TV in some sort?
Wait.
There was a lot of stuff that went on.
It was coming anyway, T.O. Yeah, it was coming anyway, but this one was so over the top.
Yeah.
And you finally had the technology to do it. You could have the helicopter sending the signals, and you had cable and satellite TV.
But court TV? In the courtroom every day?
If this wasn't happening right in front of your face, you wouldn't have believed it. It's like, are you kidding me with this?
Well, see, and that's what I don't have a grasp for. I don't remember OJ as a player.
Oh my God. I don't remember
OJ as a celebrity.
There's a line in the thing where something in the promo where he goes, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Yeah. Didn't I hear that?
Yeah.
You got to remember, T-O-E, OJ was a beloved.
This guy was the Hertz rent-a-car guy.
They put him in the Naked Gun.
He was an airplane.
Who would you compare him to today?
Was he an airplane?
There's nobody.
Oh, no, Kareem was an airplane.
That was Kareem.
LeBron James, Kobe. I mean, like, I guess those guys aren't really media guys, but like.
There's not a media guy. No, there's no one really like. This was your best friend suddenly being accused of murder.
Let's do this. Let's reconvene on this after
we watch this one.
And then then we can make fun. I mean, we can discuss it.
All right. we'll discuss. Well,
what are we watching?
The new OJ show.
The trailer for that?
The People versus OJ Simpson.
It's on FX. FX does.
Does anybody know how it ends? Don't tell me.
Oh, it's still going.
I'm not going to ruin it for you.
No, I mean, don't tell me how it ends.
No, okay. We won't. All right, folks, that'll do
it. I haven't seen Titanic either.
For this edition of Not So Fast, you can check us out at notsofastpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And, of course, you can subscribe to the shows on iTunes, on Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet, and click subscribe. That'll do it for Big E, for Jimbo, for T.O. I'm Tony. We'll talk to you next week right here. It's Not So Fast on the Lineup Media Group.
Not So Fast, a Lineup Media Group production. Find us online at notsofastpodcast.com. Plus, on iTunes, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Get every LMG podcast now at lineupmediagroup.com.